The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Make the most of your life. When you remove the blocks that are holding you back, you can bring inspiration, passion, and purpose to yourself and those around you. This is the Hoffman Connection with your hosts, Raz Ingrassi and Ed McClune. Our hosts and their guests will give you the tools that you need to improve yourself by bringing you closer to what really matters. Now, here's your host.
Welcome to the Hoffman Connection. We're coming to you from beautiful and today, dry Northern California. And I've been with the Hoffman Institute for over 20 years. I'm a teacher of the Hoffman process and been in executive function with the Hoffman Institute for many years. If you've never heard of the Hoffman Institute, you may have heard of the Hoffman process. We're celebrating 45 years as the leading personal development program of its type. And our byline is that we are helping people who are serious about change. We have 16 sites across 11 countries. Helped about 85,000 people worldwide. And our signature program is the Hoffman Process, which is an amazing 7.5-day retreat of personal development and discovery. My co-host, Ed McClune, is, I'm not sure if he's here yet. Ed, are you here? No. Okay. So maybe Ed will be joining us. The purpose of this show, of course, the Hoffman Connection, is to bring inspiration, education, and tools to help you connect to a life you love. We offer the Hoffman Process about every couple of weeks around the United States, and we're a nonprofit organization and have lots of support programs after you've done the Hoffman Process. I want to introduce you to our guest today. We have a very special experience in store for you with singer-songwriter Ed Romanoff. He's actually an award-winning songwriter of Americana music, and his 2012 album, just self-titled Ed Romanoff, is a masterwork, I'll call it, of melancholic and atmospheric Americana. And he says there's a sense of the kind of redemption you can find at the end of an introspective night with a good bottle of whiskey. That's a good description of things. But there's a very compelling story here that Ed has about how he came to write music, and how he came to find this through his own healing, through the Hoffman work, and so on. So I want to invite Ed Romanoff. Ed, are you there?
I'm here, and I can hear you loud and clear.
We're really pleased to have Ed Romanoff joining us today. Ed, there's a fantastic story behind his success as a songwriter. His original album this year, I think, won awards on international and national songwriting awards on like 8 or 9 of the 10 songs on the album. So, Ed, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Raz. This is great.
And Ed McClune is also here. And I'll try to say the last name when I'm talking to someone. But
I'll just assume you're talking to Ed Romanoff, Raz.
All right. That sounds good. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about how you came to be a songwriter. I know that you achieved a lot of business success with your company, Pine Rock Productions, and that you came to writing music only a few years ago, even though you've been a musician for some time. And give us a little background on how you came to that, how that happened.
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting path, and it's so circuitous that it makes you think that it was sort of predetermined, you know. Because I had a professional role in my company as the CEO of a business, but I didn't have a lot of training in that area, I had hired a professional coach to help me figure out how to be a good CEO. You know, a lot of folks out there are looking for programs that can help them do a better job, and I was one of those people. And so my professional coach sent me to one of his friends, because one of the things that was kind of holding me back was I had tremendous fear and anxiety around public speaking, and that was a big part of my job, you know, presenting to clients and talking to employees. And so for me, it was just, I just had a tremendous dread. In my 20s, I had an event. It was a dissociative amnesia event where I lost my memory. Simple things like how to tie my shoes, how to play the guitar. My mind cleared out, and it was later diagnosed as a PTSD event. And so for years, it took me a long time before, I mean, even just talking to a waitress in a restaurant was very, very difficult for me.
Wow.
And so, I had hired a professional coach to help me, you know, I just fought through it, you know, like, it was very, very, like every one of them was, I would dread it, and I took a lot of medication, and it would just make me super tired afterwards. Like I would have to take a lot of medicine to be able to get through these presentations because I was afraid that I would forget again and blank, as that's how it came on in the first place. So my professional coach referred me to a psychiatrist in Boston, and I went up to visit him, and he has a really high level job in the psychiatric world, which I did not know. But when I met him, he asked me, I told him my story, and or the story that I knew at the time, which was already kind of odd, and he said, if you're up for something that's a little non-traditional, he was aware of a program that, you know, it's a week and you could go, and it was the Hoffman process. And this guy was such a highly respected person, you know, the head of psychiatry, a major hospital in Boston. I was like, you know, just based on his recommendation, I said, well, you know, I've been dealing with this panic. I would have panic attacks in the beginning upwards of 20 times a day.
Oh my God.
And then, over the years it became less and less, but I don't know if the experience of panic attack is it's very difficult to describe unless you've had one, but if you have, it is just so hard to move through.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming.
It is really, you feel like you're going to die. And so my resting pulse, I was a triathlete when this came on in my mid-20s. My resting pulse was about 52 beats a minute. And after I had that PTSD event, my resting pulse went to about 130 beats a minute. And so that was just a resting pulse. And then when I got nervous, it would go up from there. And I just couldn't get enough oxygen in my lungs to speak. And so, you know, if you exhaled as hard as you can, and then you exhaled again to get all the air out of your lungs, you know, like, and really exhale, then see how many words you can say. That was really where I was. I could say about four words.
Wow.
I could say about four words. And so, I thought I would get outed, actually. You know, I was in sales, and just, you know, this is where divine intervention comes into play. But I became like a very successful salesperson that actually couldn't speak. Like, I had all these crazy, lucky things happen. I was given a presentation in front of the president of our company, and I was like, I know today they're going to find out that I can't do this job. And I got three words out, and in the middle of the sentence, the client stopped right as I ran out of gas. I couldn't talk any further. And he looked at a woman in the meeting and said, are you from Pennsylvania? And it was a late addition to our group. And she goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. Well, it turns out they knew the same person. They talked for a while. And then next thing you know, the client just said, well, let's just skip to the end. How much is it? And we won this massive job. And I could only speak four words at the time. I was 29 years old. And so that was just something that took me years and years and years. And I used to have a good memory, but then it was gone. And I couldn't remember, you know, what I had for lunch or just like really, really simple things, where I went to high school, where I'd park my car. You know, I just couldn't remember stuff. And so it took me years to try to rebuild the ability. And when I used to wing it, because I had a good memory, I now took incredible notes.
So tell us what happened then when you did the Hoffman process, because that's where I met you. And I saw you have an amazing breakthrough. And tell us a little bit about that and how that led you to songwriting. Because that's only about 3 years ago, right?
It was in 2008, August of 2008. And so my the doctor recommended Hoffman. I signed up and went, and not knowing what I was getting into, because it was just on his recommendation that he was such a high-standing person in the medical community, I just said, all right, I'll do it, you know. And then I got there, and then, you know, a couple of days in, I'm like, oh, my goodness, what have I gotten myself into, you know. But I got some great advice from one of the YPO people I knew with my business. I was a part of YPO. And Dick Simon, I talked to him, and he said, just trust the process. Just let yourself just do it. Don't try to figure it out. You know, like all type A people are always trying to figure everything out. So anyway, I took his advice, and I was like, all right, I'll just do it, you know. And so I went through the process, and ironically, I had a very interesting experience. It was Tuesday morning of the process, and I walked outside, and all of a sudden I saw the trees and flowers in a way that they looked like they were plugged in to electricity. You know, like colors became very, very vivid and very, very dense, to the point where it made me nervous. And I went back into the room, and I talked to one of the teachers, and I said, something's happening with me, like my vision, my eyesight's changing. And I forgot who it was, but they were like, oh yeah, that happens sometimes. And later on, it was explained to me that I might have been in a mild depression for years, but not aware of it. And so, because I went back to that physician to ask him, like, how is that possible? And that for me still persists. Like, I see it in flowers and trees, nature especially, and in lights, like Christmas lights. It almost tickles in my brain. I was 48 years old, and I had never actually seen the world. So halfway through the week, that happened. You know, I went there for the to deal with the anxiety, and then yet what happened was I cleared out a lot of patterns and baggage of things that I was doing that was sort of holding me back. At the end of the week, I had always wanted to write songs. I had always wanted to perform, but I was deathly afraid of getting in front of people, so I didn't ever try it. So my coping mechanism was to become a producer, a behind-the-scenes guy. So I started a business that was in and around music, and we produced very famous artists. I worked with George Burns, Reba McEntire, Dana Carvey, Jay Leno, you know, like, and I had, and that was enough. That I felt like was enough. And so I was living on what I thought was okay. But throughout the process, like towards the end of the week, I started to think, you know, in that role, I was more of a cheerleader, you know?
Yeah.
And towards the end of the week, I started to think, what would it be like to be a player? You know, because I always wanted to be in music and write music, but I was afraid. And I'm not saying that my fear went away, but the process made me braver. And so I pursued, the last day of the process, I turned to this woman who was sitting next to me, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to write songs. And she got chills, and I got chills, and she said, I can tell you're going to do this. And it was just such a strange feeling to know something, and then I'm going to say, all right, well, I'm going to see where this goes.
So Ed, you pursued this, and it went along with your a healing that extended out to you discovered some things about your family of origin, and you were pursuing that healing at the same time your musical self expression is blooming, and they were kind of linked. Did you think that they were linked together?
No. Not okay. at all. You know, it was a total surprise. You know, like, I really gained a lot of compassion in the process, actually, for my folks. You know, like, I really came to the point where I feel like, and I feel this today, you know, like, everybody's doing the best they can, you know, based on what they have. But my parents, there was a lot of things that there was a mystery. And by pursuing this creative thing, it unlocked a real mystery in my life. My parents were just overtly mean to me for reasons I could never understand. You know, like when I was a kid, I was locked in closets and stuff, and chained to a dog runner. Really bad stuff that you hear about in daytime movies. You know, my very first sentence My very first words were like, not mama, Veda, or anything. My very first words were, God damn it, Jesus Christ, shit. Those were my first words. And so the environment.
So you've earned your right to sing the blues, honestly.
Yeah, so, you know, I was in a very tumultuous environment, but for me, I never knew why. And so I just knew my parents were mad about something, but I never could figure out what it was. And so through writing the songs, I wrote this one song. The very first one that I wrote was Breakfast for One on the 5th of July, which did win some award. And so I wrote it. It was about this, you know, I've been writing about things that have happened. I wrote it about this relationship. There was this girl who on a night we were about to go take a vacation together, she hooked up with somebody else, which was incredibly painful. But what's fascinating to me about this as I look at it now is that it happened on the 4th of July. So the name of the song is Breakfast for One on the 5th of July. But what's really interesting is this greater truth that exists in the world that we tap into in some way, because on that 5th of July, I was in Ireland in a pub in Kinsale, Ireland, and I was just sitting there kind of like, crying in my beer, you know, thinking, why do I pick the wrong person? You know, like, why did she pick him? You know, why wasn't I good enough? You know, like, yeah. Just beating myself up. And a bunch of people came into this pub and started telling stories and limericks and songs, and they all went around the room. And the bartender was the last to go. And he did a limerick that I felt compelled to write down for reasons I still can't really fully understand. But he said, I don't know, I guess you must know what a pram is, you know, in Europe. It's a baby carriage.
Yeah.
And so the limerick that he said was, pity the man who's pushing a pram all alone. Pity the man who's pushing a pram and thinks that he's pushing his own.
Wow.
And so I wrote that in my notebook because I was in the habit of, because I wanted to start writing songs, and I just wrote that down. And I thought about a guy, you know, here's a guy who's pushing a baby carriage, doesn't know that the kid he's pushing isn't his. And I found that I felt drawn to that story. And that song, Breakfast for One, I was already in the process of writing that. And I wrote that with Mary Gaucher, who is also a Hoffman graduate. She went after I did, actually,
yeah.
After hanging out together. And when we wrote that song, we had written another one, and she took me to this orphanage that she was left on the day she was born. And so after a while, she wanted to find out about her biological family, and so she wanted to take a DNA test, and she asked me to do it with her while we were writing that other Breakfast for One song. And, you know, my last name is Romanoff, so... You know, I grew up with these Russian folks, and you know, apart from the fact that they were angry, they were, you know, not bad, you know, and you know, dark and square and kind of hairy people, and but I was pink. I was pink, and I had freckles, you know, and I used to ask my parents growing up, how come I don't look like everybody else? And they would say, you know, the milkman brought you, you know, stuff like that.
You found out that the milkman really did bring you, huh?
Yeah, man. Yep. With some cheese. And, so I took this DNA test with my friend Mary because I wanted to learn more about the Romanovs. You know, like I liked my father and I wanted to learn more about him. And, he had said things into me in my life that I didn't understand. I wanted to know more about our history, of something I could be proud of. So my results came back from the test, and it said that I was Irish. And I thought that that can't be, you know. And so I took a second one, and it came back the same, said I was Irish. So I still didn't believe it, and I asked my brother to take the test. Both my parents had passed away by this time. So my brother took the test, and it came back, and it said that we were half brothers, meaning we had the same mother, but different dads.
Okay.
And this was in 2010, so 2 years ago. And so I learned that the reason everyone was so pissed off was because my father saw me as the product of infidelity and looked like this other guy. And my mother couldn't be with the person maybe that she wanted to be with. And so it just revealed a big secret to me in that process.
But also, it revealed a big secret, but also began to explain to you the emotional soup that you were swimming in as a child that had no meaning to you whatsoever, and you could see that your parents' anger was being, especially your father's, was being taken out on you.
Yeah, I could never understand it. And even when my father, he used to really, he was very physical, and he would, use leather belts. And one time he beat me really badly with a belt, so bad that the buckle broke. And it really made him crazy, so he went and got another one. And, he was just very physical and very angry.
Wow.
And yet still I felt closest to him and our family, because my mother was very depressed and suicidal. She attempted suicide and timed it so that I would find her.
Taking the Hoffman process in a kind of a remarkable way allowed you to understand that there was more going on in your family. And with Mary, you were able to pursue that, have the DNA testing, and this began to inform your songwriting, and you were pursuing that on its own.
What I found kind of interesting was, like, doing the process, I was elated for a long, long time. Like, I just felt great. Like, all the things that were bugging me before weren't bugging me.
Yep.
I didn't have static people in my life. All of a sudden, mystically, like, the five biggest headache people in my life just disappeared within, like, 4 months. Like, it was really, really interesting to me. But this piece of news, because we're human, sent me into a bit of a tailspin. I revisited some really not happy feelings. I had trouble leaving my house, and I had trouble answering my phone when my friends called, and I just laid on the couch. And I did a Q2, I did a follow-up, not knowing even then that I had, another parent in the mix. This was before I even knew. And so, I kept trying to get at, like, what the problem was. But I will say that, like, pursuing my creative contribution to the world, and trying to do something at the heart of what I really wanted to do, it led me towards an important truth that has actually been incredibly liberating, because now I understand why they were that way.
So, Ed, tell us where, so now that you've been through that, and this, somehow this healing is mixed with a freedom that you found within your heart and a self-expression. I mean, I know that on this first album has won like 8 or 10 international awards, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we play one of the songs? I think you queued us up with Breakfast for One on the 4th of July, or 5th of July.
Yeah.
Why don't we run that one? Sure.
That's the first one. That's the very first song that I wrote, and it got some attention.
On the 4th of July, in a carnival tent, the Star Spangled Banner on an old violin. She was there, she was gone, and I knew where she went. I was burning for her, she was burning for him. I saw couples kissing in the fireworks glow, and I walked past the shadows with nowhere to go. Well, I'm a little too old for this parking lot pain, with a second place smile and no one to blame. Missiles and whistlers, sparklers and snakes, helicopter rockets and sputtering shakes. She drifted away like the smoke in the sky. So it's breakfast for one on the 5th of July.
And we're here on the Huffman Connection with our guest songwriter, Ed Romanoff, Raz and Grossi. I'm Ed McClune, and we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick break and then want to start talking to Ed about the creative process and how he's made this amazing switch in his life and another dream come true. And we'll be right back with that on the Huffman Connection.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
We all face some economic uncertainty in our life. What makes the difference is how we take command of that and survive. Tune in to Strategies for Financial Survival with host Michael Figueroa. Michael has been up and down the road to success several times, and along with his guests, will share the skills of survival. By assessing your strengths and skills and applying them to your future, you can make it through tough times, regardless of your field. Listen every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life? The Huffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Huffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Huffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org. Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love? For 45 years, the Huffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Huffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Huffman Process, when you're serious about change. Visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to The Huffman Connection. To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio at HoffmanInstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
And welcome back to the Huffman Connection with Raz and Grossi. I'm Ed McClune. And before we get back to our guest singer-songwriter, Ed Romanoff, I want to remind you that the Huffman Institute is a nonprofit organization, and so much of our work, whether it's giving scholarships to people who want to benefit from the Huffman Process or teaching, training, supporting the radio show here, supporting our retreat center, it's all underwritten by generous gifts, and this is our end of year giving campaign. You can give the gift of love by supporting people taking the Huffman Process, and to find out more about that, our work, and about the course itself, you can go to www.HoffmanInstitute.org. So, Ed, you had this amazing shift in your life, which I think is like a dream come true for a lot of people. Certainly be a dream come true for a noodling musician like myself. And I mean, obviously you've been in the music, around the music world for a while. And so one day you just decided, I mean, at your process, actually committed to becoming a singer-songwriter. What happened next? I mean, how do you, I don't even want to go that general. You sat down, and the first song you wrote is the amazing piece of poetry that we just heard called "The Breakfast or One on the 5th of July. Where is that coming from? Give us a little hint. Teach us about your creative process.
Well, you know, not unlike business, I wanted to find out how people who did it really well, how they did it. So I went to some songwriting seminars with some of the better writers in the that I was aware of, like Daryl Scott, who wrote a lot of hits for the Dixie Chicks, and Beth Nilsson Chapman, who had some stuff with Faith Hill, and there are these places where you can go to learn the craft. And so I really studied it and figuring that, you know, inspiration-wise, I really haven't heard a bad idea for a song, but like on the execution side and craft-wise, I wanted to be aware. You know, ironically, I thought I was tone-deaf because my father had been tone-deaf, so I really shied away from the music stuff. When I found out that he wasn't, you know, it was kind of funny. I started taking voice lessons and stuff, but so, you know, my creative process, you know, that is the creative process. I could go into more detail, but I don't want to, you know, I don't know, maybe you have a specific thing that you're thinking about.
Well, I know that you go around, I mean, you have paper and pen handy when some kind of inspiration strikes. And I think a lot of the songwriters that I know, you know, mainly through our community, have generally said the same thing. You know, Beth Nielsen-Chabon, who's a guest on our show earlier this year, essentially says something like, well, they're more of a vehicle for a song to come through them than for, you know, straining over trying to find rhymes or something.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, like for me, it's kind of a pendulum that swings through that artwork, does come through you where words sort of occur or phrases or even just sounds. And then it swings back to the other side along the way where you're thinking about, okay, two verse, you know, structure and stuff like that. So, it's, you know, it's really fun to be open. And I've had a chance to look at how different people do. You know, each writer has been with 15 or 20 other writers and they pick up good habits from each of them. I've learned something from each of the people that I've worked with. And, that really has helped a lot.
So is there a story, a reminiscence about how one of these songs came up for you, one of the ones we're going to be hearing later on?
Well, I think the St. Vincent one is pretty good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, great. The St. Vincent song, I think, is interesting because I started writing it before I knew that it applied to myself, and that was pretty fascinating. I worked on that song with a guy named Josh Ritter, who is a highly esteemed songwriter, and we became friends. But that was an example of where I worked as a producer with him before, and before I had written anything, and I sought him out as a mentor, and we ended up becoming very, very good friends, and then we wrote some songs together that got on the record, and St. Vincent was one of them.
So you were actually composing, I mean... I think the opening line is that of that is something about, you know, I've got a face from a man I never saw or never met.
Yep.
And it's like you're working on that song before you even knew that you had been, that you didn't know who your father was or you hadn't met
yeah.
him.
Yeah, that was after I had written the limerick, and that limerick stayed in my, I mean, I'd heard that, I wrote it down, I heard that limerick about, you know, pity the man, and I thought it'd be interesting to write a song from the kid's perspective, you know, who doesn't know who his real father was. And I had gone to that orphanage with Mary in New Orleans, a place called St. Vincent de Paul, and walking the halls down there, you know, there were still pictures on the wall of all these kids who were orphans, you know, who had a very interesting mix of the look on their face was something between surprise and jadedness, you know, like they were young, but you could tell they were all deeply wounded. And I really just resonated with those kids, and I wanted to write from their voice. And I think that's part of the creative process for me is to find something that has emotional heat to it and a voice, like the perspective matters, like point of view, like who is telling the story. And I felt as though I was drawn by that particular thing and allowed that kid to talk. And when that kid spoke, the first thing he said through me was, I got my face from a man that I have not met. Right. I've been looking for him, but I ain't found him yet. And so it's interesting to give voice to different perspectives. And I guess that's part of the creative process, to really be clear of who's talking, because then the words come more easily, because they do want to speak.
Oh, sounds like the song's coming up right now. So let's listen to St. Vincent de Paul.
If we met on the street, I know his face. Would he look into mine and find their trace of a woman he loved once a long time ago? Or would I pass him right by and not even know? A basket of rushes and a river of men. bells ringing, I hear the bells call. They're calling me back to St. Vincent de Paul. It's a world of concrete and a world of men. And new faces bloom from the places they've been. And though we are all sinners, we aren't all made of sin. And the day that I see him, I'll tell that to him.
So there's a piece from Ed Romanoff's debut album, St. Vincent de Paul. And it's, I mean, such a beautiful song, even about reconciliation or compassion. You know, we're all sinners, but not made of sin.
Mm-hmm. It's a
beautiful line there, Ed.
Thank you.
And I guess that's part of the creative process for you, too. I mean, inadvertently, maybe not intentionally, there's been a lot of healing since you've really committed to songwriting.
There's no question. I mean, you kind of walk through, you know, it's interesting when I listen to this sort of body of songs as a collection, you know, and it feels like a lot of times you hear the word melancholy or something associated with it. But to me, they're actually kind of hopeful because, you know, we're still standing and we find strength, you know, in the things that don't, you know, kill you. You know, you come back and you have, you know, you just find your way through. And so for me, they're actually kind of hopeful songs. But I guess you have to walk through some of that stuff, you know, and face it before you can move on. I'm very, very thankful that, I mean, I had to tell those stories because they were kind of like trees right in front of me, you know, like I had no choice. You know, almost all the songs on this record are true about, you know, a friend getting shot or a cousin going missing or my own story. And thankfully now, that those are gone, I'm able to write about other things. Like I'm working on my next record, and one of the songs on that is I'm a little less broken now, and that's how I feel, you know. And it's I'm excited and curious about what else, you know, will come through, you know. Now that I've gotten sort of the historical, archival, or painful memories out of the way, there's an opportunity for a more joyful. Mm-hmm. Artistic expression, and I'm really psyched about that.
Yeah, there's looks like we're going to break. We're at the Hoffman Connection, going right back in just a minute with singer-songwriter Ed Romanoff.
Talk.
That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love? For 45 years, the Hoffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Hoffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change, visit HoffmanInstitute.org. Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life? The Hoffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Hoffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Do you find yourself tearing pictures of rooms out of magazines? Do you watch certain movies and TV programs because of the homes they show? Are Sundays reserved for open houses? Then you are a home dreamer, and someday you will build or renovate your dream home. Steve Klipp has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. His show, Winning the Dream Home Race, can be heard every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Let Steve Klipp help save you money and make you a winner.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to The Hoffman Connection. To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio@hoffmaninstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
And if you'd like to learn more about our work at the Hoffman Institute, the Hoffman Process, every week at 5 o'clock Pacific time on Tuesdays, there's a free and confidential introductory call. You can call in and get information, ask questions. We don't even know who you are if you don't want us to know. And you get more information about the course. And information about that is on our website at hoffmaninstitute.org. We're here with singer-songwriter Ed Romanoff, who's made a dramatic shift in sort of midlife from being a successful business person to maybe following a lot of our dreams and becoming a touring musician and songwriter. And Ed, I think there's a lot of different ways of writing songs or styles of songs, but when I listen to your music, it's almost like a movie soundtrack. The storytelling is so poignant that it pulls me right into who would want a music video of, you know, Breakfast for One on the 5th of July? I'm there in the diner, you know, listening to that song. And I guess that's pretty much your style.
Well, I think, you know, from the folks that I was learning from, you know, I think visual stuff really helps, you know, setting the something you can see. And so that's been a real focus. You know, I worked on those songs for probably a year and a half. And, you know, a lot of times some songs happen quickly, but a lot of them, there's a lot more work. You know, like I went through every line of every song and then figured out what's the least best line and said, can we top it? And then after that went through like which word, isn't strong enough. And then I worked with a voice coach a guy named Bill Riley, who works with a lot of well-known folks that I met through another person actually in the process, but he works with like Celine Dion and Stevie Wonder, just an amazing resource, and he's helped me a great deal with how to figure out how to articulate and communicate the intention of each song and each line, and become a good friend. You know, he's really, really, really something.
I was just going to ask you, Ed, you have a lot of, you know, such an autobiographical tone to a lot of your music. And I remember you telling me how that's opened up a lot of contact with your audience and people coming up to you and telling you that your story is their story. Is that, can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the reason for doing it. You know, I think your Clarence Clemens, who passed away this year, who played in the Bruce Springsteen's band, said that the stage is a healing floor. And I think that's true. You know, for me, that's the reason why I'm doing it. You know, like I've had some business success, but I was sort of behind the scenes and invisible. And an important thing for me to be was to be more visible. And that's good on a personal growth for me. But really what I'm finding is that at shows, almost every show, invariably someone comes up and tells their story. And I think that's the start of the healing process, is for someone to vocalize where they're at. And to know that they're not alone. There aren't a lot of guys who are telling this kind of a story. So I'm finding a lot of people are moved. Every once in a while, I see someone who's tearful, you know. But fortunately, the shows, I try to tell some stories and jokes in between. So that way nobody, you know, wants to jump out of a window with the really sad songs. But for me, that's what makes it so worthwhile. I've had so many comments from people. I mean, that's why I'm doing it. You know, it's the music industry is so strange, you know, as a business, just in watching it, I'm kind of curious about it, but you know, really the best part of every day, cause it's a grueling thing. You have to have some endurance to do this. Like this tour is unbelievable. Like we've covered from the Pacific Northwest all the way to San Diego, to Salt Lake, up to Minneapolis, across the Midwest, back up into Canada. Now we're making our way down to the South. We'll be in Birmingham, then go back up to Nashville. You know, you gotta, that 1 hour when you're in front of people, or 2 hours, is a really special time. And I feel like people are healing each other. And to me, that's, I find that compelling, and that's what keeps me doing it.
Well, I love it, Ed. And I would really love it for as many of our listeners to be able to access your shows, your music. So tell us, if we just go on edromanoff.com, is that the best way to find out where you're performing? And can we also buy your album off of your website?
I think you can. Well, the record's on iTunes for sure.
Okay, so iTunes.
And it's on Amazon. I don't know if it's on the website or not. It
okay,
is on
but
the
it's
website.
Just Ed Romanoff, right?
EdRomanoff.com.
EdRomanoff.com, and that's also the name of the album, right?
Yeah, it's self-titled. I couldn't think of anything super clever.
Well, that sounds good. Sounds pretty good to me. So I really want to encourage our listeners to go onto your website, because your tour dates are on there, and you can even listen to some music. And, of course, go on iTunes and buy this album. It's an amazing album. And we want to let me see if there's anything else I wanted to ask you, Ed.
Well, while you're thinking of that, I want to encourage people to go to your website. because I have to say, you know, like, I had a really good life. You know, like, I was successful and happy, really, except I had that just one thing that was bugging me.
Yeah.
But in going to Hoffman, like for me now, my life has totally changed, and it's like, it was good before, it is great now. And, it's like every day is like Christmas, like stuff comes up that blows my mind, you know, like where I get invited to do things like tour in Europe or be on national radio or a program like this. And, it just makes you feel special. And
that's beautiful.
I could have passed my whole time on this globe I could have lived and died without knowing what was possible. And, you know, the world can be a really amazing, cool, and beautiful place, and I couldn't even see it. And the process helped me to see it and then to find a way in it. And so wow. I'm deeply, deeply grateful. And Raz, you know, like, you know, you were there when I did have my breakthrough moment. And the thing, you know, it's amazing how it all ties together. And even then I didn't know. So there's a deeper magic or knowledge or wisdom to something like the process that I could not, I recommend it to all my friends. One of my closest friends I worked on for months ago, and he wouldn't do it. And then he finally went, you know, and I was telling you earlier, because he said, I'm not going because you suggested I go. I'm going because of the things you're no longer doing since you went. And,
well, Ed, you're so great to help us and to support the Hoffman process. We deeply appreciate it. I am so amazed at how you've gotten all these national and international songwriting awards, and, you know, like 10 awards on your first album. It's amazing. And I was wondering if we could take us out here, if we get the technicians listening, by playing this song of yours, Potholes, which, as you told me, is a bit more upbeat, huh?
Yeah, I think that's the way, that's where I'm headed, you know.
Okay.
I think we all have potholes in our lives, but, like, hopefully, you know, I actually have so much optimism about the whole thing, so that's kind of what Potholes is about, I think.
Okay, well, let's listen.
On my street, I hear stories on the TV. Think of how it used to be, walking down my street. And it shows on broken radio, broadcasting empty souls, walking down my street. But I know which way the wind blows. It's blowing over potholes, swearing I believe. Singing someday we'll be okay. that road may eventually. You can lie to me, but I see what I see. And I know which way the wind blows. It's blowing over potholes.
So we want to thank everyone for being with us today. And Ed Romanoff, you're fantastic. The last name is spelled with a double F, Romanoff. And be sure to go to Ed Romanoff's website and pick up this album.
Yeah, Ed, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. And I just want to say, too, that the for somebody who is afraid of public speaking, your show is about as entertaining as they get, too. It's really, really fun.
Wow, thanks a lot. Well, yeah. I have to say thank you guys for the work you do. You know, it's amazing the transformational stuff that you help people with. And I can't thank you all enough. I'm indebted to both you guys. Thank you.
All right.
All good.
Thanks, Ed, so much. So, Raz,
we'll see everybody. We'll be back next week and look forward to it.
Yeah, Raz, you take care. I'll be away teaching. Okay. Thanks for listening this afternoon to the Hoffman Connection. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Singing someday we'll be okay. We'll get that road made eventually. Someday.
Thank you again for being a part of the Hoffman Connection. Please join your hosts, Raz and Grossi and Ed McLoone, again next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, make it an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.